Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Cam Moon and Cody Jansen with you this afternoon on Oilers Now. Ashley Finefloor's text line has been outstanding so far. Lots of talk about Jesse Puljujärvi, Oilers cap situation, all that kind of stuff. We will talk more about it over the course of this show. But right now, we go to our headliner. Your Oilers Now headliner brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. And we do have former Edmonton Oiler, longtime pro hockey player, Memorial Cup champion with the Red Deer Rebels in 2001, Jim Vandermeer. Jim, how are you?
Not bad, Mooner. How you doing, pal?
Yeah, doing all right. We are we're in the July of an NHL season, so we are discussing all things, you know, Oilers related and about the roster and all that kind of stuff. But it is nice to catch up with former players and tell some stories and all that sort of thing. So that's why we're having you on, Jim. And first of all, give us the update in the life of Jim Vandermeer. Where are you and what are you up to?
At the minute, I'm out in Ladner, BC, so just south of Vancouver. It's where the Vancouver Giants have their practice facility. And I got two kids and we're homeschooling, and my wife and I, Steph, we're just chasing kids right now. That's about it.
So really no different than your parents when they had the six of you. You have five brothers.
Yeah.
So very, very similar. Outstanding. Well, let's get into a bit of story time. And the first thing I wanted to ask you about, Jim, was, and we have Jim Vandermeer, former Edmonton Oiler, on here on Oilers Now, that your 20-year-old season, you didn't get drafted. You're coming back to play your 20-year-old year in Red Deer. It looks like it was going to be a pretty good team. Turns out it was a pretty good team that led the league from start to finish. Went to a WHL championship, won a Memorial Cup championship in overtime against the Val d'Or Fourier. That season, you know, you look back on a long NHL and pro career, that year in junior had to be pretty special for you.
Well, absolutely. I think anytime you play on a team that wins a championship or is right there for a championship, it's a pretty special group. You know, it doesn't happen very often. I think I got hit in the head a lot. So I think I played 18 years professionally, and I won two championships, and that was it. Made it to the final, I think, three or four times, but only won the Memorial Cup, and then I won in Belfast in the EIHL. We won the league there. So
yeah,
it's few and far between. So when you're with a group that's that good within that league, it's pretty cool.
And you were able to sign a free agent contract that season with the Philadelphia Flyers. And I know the next year you moved to the American League and you made that step, and then the year after that you got into your first NHL games while still playing American League, and you got to play when you were in the American League with, and that was the Philadelphia Phantoms, so you guys shared the, which would have been the Spectrum at that point. You got to play with your older brother Pete Vandermeer with the Phantoms. What was that like?
That was really cool, because you know, when he moved out of our place at home and he went and played in Red Deer, you know, I think I would have been 12 or 13. So, you know, growing up and your older sibling moves away and you're those development years, you don't really get to know them as well as they're right there. And, you know, only a short time after, it was only about 4 or 5 years that I got to move in with him and be his roommate for a year and got to reconnect with him, which was really, really cool. And especially, you know, playing pro hockey, with one of your siblings was really special.
Jim Vandermeer is our guest. Your brother, Pete, he put up some epic penalty minute numbers in pro. He played 15 years pro and eventually got some NHL games in with Phoenix in 07, 08. But when you got called up to the Flyers, which I get is a little bit different than other situations where you're moving from a city to a different city to get called up. I mean, there you were right there. But tell me about that first game in the NHL. We had Matt Fraser on yesterday, and he was telling his story about his first game in the NHL. That was with the Dallas Stars. But for you, your first game with the Flyers, so what do you remember?
Well, it was kind of weird how you say you don't have to travel for it, but this one was weird. We were on the road in Portland, Maine with the Phantoms. It was a New Year's Eve game. I think we lost in the last minute. After the game, we were supposed to spend the night, celebrate New Year's in Portland, and then bus back. I think it's about a 10-hour bus ride back to Philly. And after the game, Johnny Stevens comes in and just says, "We don't know your travel details yet, but you're on your way to L.A. to go meet up with the Flyboys." So he goes, "I'll talk to you later," and that was about it. So we left me, went and got showered and changed, and then I ended up getting a ride in a van to one of the Ferraro twins. Their buddy had one of those old school vans with a waterbed in the back. one of those creep mobiles. But he got me to Boston, and then I flew the first flight in the morning from Boston to L.A., and then met the team and had practice that day. Then we played L.A. the next day, but I didn't play. Just took warm-up, and they said, just, soak it all in. You're going to play tomorrow, which ended up being the 3rd of January. We played against Anaheim, and that was it. I just remember being so nervous, so, almost sick to my stomach. Didn't throw up or anything, but just really, really nervous. And, I think got out there. I think first two shifts had two penalties and didn't necessarily agree with them, but that's the way she goes when you're a young guy getting called up and old rules, right? So, but then once, after next couple shifts, then kind of settled in and, obviously played well enough that they decided to keep me around for a little bit longer. So that was good. But I think my first D partner was Eric Desjardins. So that was pretty special. A guy I watched for a long time growing up, and he kept it really simple for me. He goes, "If you're ever in trouble, just throw it over to me and I'll take care of it." So that was nice.
Former Oiler Jim Vandermeer, our guest. Did you get in a tilt in the first game, or how long into your NHL career did it take?
It didn't take long. It wasn't the first game. It ended up being back at home, I think. First one was, I think, Jason Marshall against Minnesota. I don't know the timing of it, but it would have been, within a week or two, I would imagine. So didn't take long.
No, I didn't think it would. I really didn't. Those fans in Philadelphia, whether it was the Phantoms or the Flyers, whichever one you were playing in front of, they had to be really something.
Oh, definitely. The Phantoms, we played in the old Spectrum, and the Flyers played at the time. I think it was just changed from First Union to Wachovia or whatever, but it was still that brand new building that they still play out of now. But real blue collar, hardworking, fans, and that's what they expected out of their teams. So, if you were, the teams had a reputation of Broad Street Bullies, and I think, once things sort of changed in the NHL where the fighting wasn't as much, then, I think the Phantoms tried to keep that alive for them for a little while longer. So the old Spectrum loved their tilts.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely did. Jim Vandermeer, former Edmonton Oiler, our guest. You came to the Oilers 2010-2011 season. What do you remember from your time in Edmonton and playing at Rexall Place, speaking of great fans and a loud rink? And what do you recall from that time?
No, absolutely. I grew up Central Alberta, Oiler fan. It was pretty easy to be an Oiler fan back in the early 80s. I knew it was going to be a little bit different. I got traded there, but it was a little bit sort of a rebuild. It was, Hall's and Eberle's first year, and Gags was real young, and our whole team is really young, with the exception of, you know, maybe Horkoff and, you know, Hemsky, even though they're right around my age. So, you know, it was a tough year because we didn't do so well, but it was exciting to play for, you know, the team I grew up cheering for my whole life. So people in Edmonton were great. The rink was great. You know, I had ended up watching one NHL game live growing up, and it happened to be in Edmonton. So it was pretty cool to go back.
Well, and you spent time with the Calgary Flames before you came to the Oilers, so you got to see the Battle of Alberta from both sides. But being an Alberta guy, and a guy that grew up in Central Alberta and Caroline, you know, being able to play for both teams in your home province and having the ability to have friends and family watch you play on a regular basis, like, how special was that?
No, that was absolutely amazing. Like, where I grew up, it was almost exactly halfway between the two cities, and I think my first, I don't even know what it was, 5 years in the NHL. I don't think, like, the first 3 years the Flyers came out, the schedule used to be different.
Yeah.
The Flyers came out every other year, I think, and then I got called up halfway through the year and they had already come through. And then the next year we didn't actually play in Alberta. So, and then the next year I got traded to Chicago by then. So I never got to play in Alberta with the Flyers at all. And then obviously moving out west with the Hawks, got to play a little bit more. But no, it was just really cool to have, you know, most of the time when guys have go to a, you know, either a province or a city close to where they're from, you know, you got 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 tickets, whatever it is. You know, this way being able to play there, you could have, you know, a couple come at a time, and after the game, spend some time with them and get some real one-on-one time rather than, you know, meeting a mob of people down by the bus type of thing. So it was really, really, really special to be able to experience that close to home.
Jim Vandermeer, our guest, former Edmonton Oiler. At the end of your career, you went over to Europe, and I know you played in Switzerland there for a bit, but spent 4 seasons in Belfast. Tell me about that. Like, that's got to be, you know, considerably different than the pace of schedule and travel and what have you of the National Hockey League or the American Hockey League. What was it like? What was the lifestyle and the hockey like there?
Yeah, it was really cool. You know, I think, you know, I didn't know how long I was going to play in the NHL, you know, being undrafted and, you know, being a fringe type player for a while. You know, the whole plan was to go to Europe afterwards and travel and kind of immerse ourselves in another culture and try to learn another language and all that sort of thing. But yeah, Kloten, I think they played 50 games was their schedule. Then they had a couple of weird tournaments within the season. They had this Swiss Cup where you play like the third league in Switzerland, then you play the second league in Switzerland, and then basically sort of like a round robin, you work your way down to the final. And, you know, obviously by the end it's the NLA teams that are in the final because they got the best players in the country there. But that was really cool, you know. But only played on weekends for the most part, unless there was those tournament games, were usually midweek. We were in Kloten, so Zurich, right in the middle of the country. Our longest trip was, I think, 3.5 hours by bus. So we were home every single night. Some of the other teams have a little bit different travel. Like Geneva has to go all the way to Davos or to one of the Italian teams. I can't remember right now, but yeah, so they would have to spend the night and come over. They'd have like 6 or 7 hour travel times. But, you know, where we were at was really good. Sundays off everywhere. Like, nothing was open on Sundays. Like, hardly any restaurants, no stores. So it was like a real family day type thing. So it was a real, not to say culture shock, but it was a lot different mentality to how they live, I guess, on the weekends and how they spend their family time. So that was really interesting. Belfast, I think, was about the same. They had 50 games. But then they had Challenge Cup, which is similar to Swiss Cup. They have, I guess it's more to get more games and more revenue coming in and stuff like that, I think, because they didn't have they don't have a national team or a national TV deal like they did in Switzerland. But that was really cool. Belfast, I got to experience, player coach. So I was getting my toe into coaching a little bit. My last couple of years there, I went to school. I got my master's degree in sports management. So that was really cool. So I hadn't gone to school in 20 years, so that was a little bit different. But they didn't have computers when I went to school, so when I went to high school. So
that's outstanding. I didn't know you got your master's. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I think, wasn't really sure what I wanted to do after hockey, and I figured take a bunch of courses that might give me some direction. And, so I took a business master's class and got to see all aspects of business. So, I think in time, my wife and I have some plans to start some things up, but not right now. I think just with COVID and everything was kind of shut down. We kind of put everything on hold for a little bit. So now we're just kind of trying to find the right timing for what we plan to do.
Jim Vandermeer, our guest, former Edmonton Oiler. Jim, your situation, growing up in Central Alberta, one of six players, brothers, that all played pro hockey. The oldest brother, Pete, 15 years pro, got some games in the NHL, but your brother Joe played 7 years. Dan played 11. There was you, which 18 years pro. Bill, 6. And Ted had 3. What was that like growing up? And you guys, of course, had the sawmill. And I know you all had to work there when the seasons were over and you came home after playoffs. I remember Ted telling me one time he wanted to go the longer he could go in the playoffs, the better, because it kept him from getting put to work. But growing up in a family that was very, very big into hockey, and the brothers, you guys were all really close. So what was it like?
It was great. I would like to sit here and say it was absolute madness, and it was at times, but it was great, and I don't think I'd have it any other way. You had obviously very talented individuals all the way through, very determined guys, competitive. So the older guys would push the younger brothers to be better and teach them stuff that they would learn at an older age. So there's things that I learned in junior that say Billy and Teddy learned when they were playing bantam and peewee and stuff like that. So you're getting a little bit of a leg up on some other guys by getting the older siblings helping you out that way. But it was great. Like Teddy said, the further you went in playoffs, the less time you had to spend at home and work. So that went through, all minor hockey. So if you're playing in provincials and you're playing into, April and May and stuff like that, you're pretty pumped because you're not outside packing boards and slinging logs around. So,
Jim Vandermeer, a guest, former Edmonton Oiler. We're getting questions on the Ashley Fine Floors text line about your pass to Jordan Eberle on his first NHL goal. What do you recall?
Well, we did a little spoof on TSN afterwards, where some people were kind of upset. They thought we were actually making fun of Jordan for looking off Horkoff on the rush there. But no, it was a PK, and I don't know how they didn't score beforehand, but I ended up getting the puck behind the net. Eberle took off, and I sucked the D-man to the middle and just banked it off the boards, and Jordan picked it up at the far blue, and away he went. Obviously an amazing move that he made on Kiprusoff there. So that was, first game of the year against the Oilers, against the Flames. Great way to start the season.
Well, you were always a setup guy. You were a playmaker. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, I appreciate that. You watched me most my last couple years of junior when I think I actually thought I was a playmaker, right?
So you put up numbers. I know. Yeah. I know what I know.
That had to do with the guys that we were playing with, right? Well, like that team in junior, we had seven guys with over 20 goals, right? And a couple D-men with over 20 goals. So, I think the numbers and stuff had a lot to do with the people that that I was playing with, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been great to catching up with you, Jim. Always a pleasure. I love the stories. I love hearing, you know, about the great time you had in pro hockey. And I remember watching you as a junior. I knew you were going to be successful in whatever you did. So, hey, thanks a lot for joining us today.
No, I appreciate it, Hunter.
Love it. All right. Jim Vandermeer, former Edmonton Oiler, played with the Oilers 2010-2011 was the season, but 18 years in pro hockey, 9 years in the National Hockey League. So, yeah, and now has his master's degree. Good for him. Good to catch up with him. We're going to take a quick break. It is 12:54 in Edmonton. You got Cam Moon. You got Cody Jansen. This is Oilers Now on 630 CHED. You got Cam Moon and Cody Jansen this afternoon here on Oilers Now. A wonderful conversation with former Edmonton Oiler Jim Vandermeer. Mo sends us a text on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Vandermeer versus Lucic in 2011, one of my favorite memories of Jim. He smiled throughout most of the fight. Underrated tough guy. Yeah, I remember, I've watched that one a few times since, and that's true. Jim had a smile on his face, as only he could, throughout most of that, which that's not easy. That's not easy to do.
Only 664 Pims in the NHL. Is that good?
Yeah, that's. See, he was going to shatter the franchise record in Red Deer for career Pims. He would have shattered it going into his 20-year-old year, and not many people would fight him when he was 20. So his penalty minutes went down in that last year because there weren't many takers.
Well, I see he went from 258 to 221 to 180. Yeah. So, yeah, I think people started to learn the last name.
Just leave him alone. He had one with Stephen Peat, who was a member of the Calgary Hitmen at the time, center ice in Red Deer. And, of course, they had been teammates 2 years previous or a year previous with the Rebels. And they went toe-to-toe just for fun. I don't know where the fun is in that, but they went toe-to-toe just for fun, and the place went absolutely crazy. Some guests of Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Roos Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town, every meal's an occasion at Roos Chris Steakhouse. So we've had Jim Vandermeer so far, and a good conversation with Jim. Outstanding to catch up with him. In the next hour, we've got David Staples, the Cult of Hockey, and we've got NHL insider John Shannon. So we're going to keep it rolling. You can keep firing in the text. We enjoy it.
I got one more thing on Jim Vandermeer. Like, can we just talk about how he went over to Belfast and he just didn't take a break? Like, he was still fighting heavies over there, like Brian McGrattan.
Yeah.
You know, you go over to Europe, right, to be easy on your body. And he had one year.
And Jim Vandermeer's, like, he's not as big as Brian McGrattan. He's not as big as Milan Lucic. Like, that was the thing. Like, Jim Vandermeer took on, like, he didn't pick his spots by any stretch of the imagination. Absolutely. Love it. Love the stories. We're going to take a break as we've got the global news, weather, and traffic update with Kevin Robertson. This is Oilers Now on 630 CHED.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.